This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode, and I'm going to run a couple here that are solo. I want to go over some things, and I thought I was going to do this in one episode, but when I really started looking and started writing stuff down, I was like, man, there is a lot to this. So I'm actually going to do two episodes of this. They won't be longer. I'll try to keep them between 20 and 30 minutes each, but there'll be two of them. And a lot of these things that I'm going to mention, this is stuff for off-season hobbies to help speed up the return of duck season. So I think time, the older you get, time flies faster. I hit the big 4-0 in January, and it's crazy. It's like, man, I can't believe that. I don't feel like I am. I don't think like I am. Well, hopefully I think like, I think like a 4-year-old and not a 20-year-old. But, and what I mean by that is just maturity, right? Like just experience and stuff like that. Not saying 20-year-olds aren't smart, because I know I was pretty smart when I was a little young whippersnapper. But anyways. So I wanted to go over these things real quick, and it's funny because I'm writing all these things that I wrote down are things that I guess I do. So I'm like, man, how do I even have enough time to do all these during the off season of duck season? You know? And the answer is I don't. And the answer is I can't. But I get pretty close, I'll tell you that. I guess what I would say is not that I don't do all these during the off season, but that I don't spend much time or hardly any in any one specifically of these. I just do a little bit of each, some more than others. Oh, one more thing I forgot to write down. No, I wrote it down. Okay. So I didn't do an order of importance. I didn't, I don't know how I would say this. There's no specific order here. It was just as it came to my mind. So don't think, well, he thinks this is more important than that. No, absolutely not. But I just wrote as quick as I could because there was a ton of things. And I thought there wasn't going to be a ton. And then as I began to write, I'm like, well, there's a lot more than I thought. So before we get started, I want to shout out you guys as the listeners. I appreciate you guys commenting on the videos on the YouTube channel. The MVM show. It's funny, people still don't know about that. They get them confused with the Mid Valley Mercenaries channel on YouTube with the MVM show. Totally different. The MVM show is literally just podcast. And I started that, I don't know, like I think I was 40, like 40 episodes deep when I started the YouTube channel podcast. I don't really know what made me decide to do that, because it adds a lot of work to the podcast. But I did, and now I'm too stubborn to stop, and now we're over 300 episodes, so it's pretty awesome. Thank you guys for supporting and listening in on that episode where me and Travis and Thomas talk and just kind of rehash over some things, and it's been a while since we've all been on together. But anyways, before we start, I want to remind you guys, if you're looking into an awesome choke or a choke that I would suggest, because people are always asking, what do we suggest on this, that, and all, and the other, but honestly, guys, it has nothing to do. I had him on, I don't know, 6 to 8 times on before I ever said, hey, you know what? I believe in this so much. I use it all duck season, his choke, right? I had him on as a guest. I tried his chokes out for a whole duck season. I was flabbergasted multiple times. And after the end of season, I was like, Jim, why don't we partner up? I said, there's only a few things that I've ever believed in so much, like I believe in this choke, and then just everything behind it and your company and you as an individual. I said, why don't we partner up? And he said, I think that's a great idea. So that's what we end up doing. And again, it's not one of those, because I don't take that lightly. I don't just do it to get monetarily gain or free stuff or whatever. I don't know. I just don't care about that stuff, honestly. It's great, and I appreciate the discounts or the things that people give and the companies I work with. But it goes both ways, right? I put my part in, they put their part in. It's not one-sided. So there's a lot of work, a lot of pictures, a lot of videos, things I do to help those companies. But I do put my stamp of approval and my name on the molar choke. It's not a marketing hype. It's not a gimmick. It's none of that. And I have seen some of you guys in the comments that say that, which is like nobody. And I don't even, those people that did it, they never even said it was that they used it and didn't like it. It was, it's pretty much people probably just trying to go after him. But like, I think I've seen two of those ever in probably the 11 or 12 episodes we've recorded. And I'm glad you guys are enjoying those and not getting tired of them, because I keep getting feedback, like keep them going. And the views are good, so I know people like it and continue to watch it. So like I said, I don't want to burn you guys out of one guest, but I've almost made him a co-host. And when he comes on, he does the talking, right? I try not to say too much, but what I try to do is learn, right? That's the whole point of having people on that have all that wisdom. I do want to get other guests on, guys. I do, but I just the way my schedule's been, he's been very, very, what would I say, graceful and to really work around my schedule to get those recorded, and I don't like asking other guests that I'm not as close to try to do that. So it's just been busy, and in off-season hobbies that have been coming up and work and stuff like that. So anyways, I guess I've rambled enough. What I wanted to say about the molar chokes was, if you guys are interested in buying one, you've seen our videos, you've heard our podcast, you're like, man, I'd like to snag one of those, you can go on his website. The link is down in the description of the YouTube channel, right? If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not, if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcast or whatever platform you're on, the link's down below, okay, in the description or the show notes, whatever you want to call it. Click on that link, kind of just lets them know people are clicking it, and like, I don't, there's nothing I get out of that. But anyways, if you put in the code MVM2024, all caps, MVM, like the show, right, 2024, you'll get 10% off. So I do not believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think anybody else gets a discount or has one. So get it while you can. So let's start. So off-season hobbies to speed up return of duck season. The first one I want to go over, and I would say this is in order of importance, that I'll write down and go over first, is family time. You guys are like, what do I do? I know some of you don't. Well, I mean, all of you have family pretty much, right? For the most part, somebody, maybe just one person. But, you know, spend time with them, do stuff with them. You can even do these hobbies that I'm going to go over today with them, right? Or you can do some of the stuff yourself and do it solo, whatever. But either way, even if you're solo and by yourself and don't have anybody, you know, trips. So like family time. So I could always do better at this. I could do a lot better actually at this with family and my girls. I got two girls, and one's actually turning, her birthday's today. She's turning 12, which is crazy. Like, I don't know. It's really weird because you think your kids are going to stay little forever. And there's some times where they're like in car seat, you're done with car seats and this and that, and strollers. You're like, oh, I just wish, I can't wait till they get out of this. But when they're out of it finally, a few years down the road, you're like missing it. Like, man, I wish I'd go back to that baby stage or when they were little, when they were learning to walk, all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's like regrets. I think you just, excuse me, I just think you wish you would do better. At least that's what I think, right? And so spending that time, you're never, I don't think I'm ever going to spend enough time to where I feel like I did my best. And that sounds kind of hopeless, but that's not what I'm trying to come across. I'm just saying, like, it's like you could always do better, right? With family time. I know some guys that are amazing at that. Like, I feel like they're just really, really good at that. I don't know what it is, but it's not necessarily having to go spend a bunch of money because, guys, let's be real. Like, we think in our head sometimes family time, well, we got to go do something big and vacation and theme parks and this and that. It's like, dude, the way everything costs now, it's not everybody can do that, you know, and afford that so often. But I do know this. Some of the little things that I've done with my girls that I thought, this is kind of stupid, meaning not that they thought it was, but I was thinking kind of a lame father for doing this, right? Like, I'm not doing much, some big extravagant thing, but like just going to like the park or going to some whatever. There's this place we got that they have swings and this and that. My girls are almost getting out of that age to even enjoy that as much anymore. Not for a whole lot longer, but even when I do it, they're just like, Dad, that was the funnest day ever. And I'm like thinking, man, it's really simple. I think I overcomplicate how easy it is to make your kids happy. And really all it is just you spending time with them, right? You being with them. So you don't have to do all these big things. You know, you don't have to think, oh, what are we going to do to just really make them happy? They just want to be with you. So, I mean, we hear that and we know that, we feel like we know that, but sometimes we need to hear it again, I guess. But yeah, just family time. Trips, spend time with your kids, spend time with your spouse, spend time with even friends, right? Just that time, whether it's just barbecuing at the house and hanging out and talking, those are all good things and things we all need. So that's one of them. That will speed up time really quick. In fact, like I said, we've already done some trips and some things, like smaller stuff, right? But have had a really good time. And like I said, not even just the bigger trips, but just other things, hanging out and taking a country drive, whatever. Like, it's just spend that time, right? So that was one of the things that will definitely speed it up and make time go by. One of the things, the next one that I have is photography. One of the things that I've really gotten into is waterfowl photography and videography. And really, anybody can do that. I basically saved money, and then invested in it. And it's not cheap for the real expensive stuff, but you don't have to get it. Like Sigma makes cameras and lenses, guys, that if you're interested in doing that is half the price, if not more, a third of the price of the more expensive stuff. And I promise you can get just as good stuff. And it's fun. Like, I don't know, like it's been such a good off-season hobby for me because it's still... It's like I learned stuff about the waterfowl that I'm hunting, right? You see things about them. You hear their calling. You find out things about them that you didn't really know because you're only shooting them, right? But when you're out there watching them from really close up, you're seeing how they're calling. You're seeing how they're reacting, like, to hawks or eagles. I've seen some crazy things this year with eagles, bald eagles out taking photography and how they react. And, I mean, they are freaked out of eagles. And like, so I'm putting that in the memory bank. Is that going to affect places I hunt this next season? If I see a lot of eagles around, maybe that's something I'm not going to maybe pay as much attention to that area or just be cognizant of that, right? It's helped me to identify birds better and flight patterns. You're always seeing them fly throughout the off season. I know the water's pretty much gone and the birds are pretty much gone. Like, I was taking photography and taking a bunch of pictures the other day. I rented that nice lens again. And I went to the refuge, one of the refuges that I frequent to do some photography. And there was it was insane to me, and I'm so excited to share these pictures when I finally do. There was so many blue wings, and you talk about the studliest blue wings you can ever find, because how late in the season is and how late in their breeding plumage they are. Oh my goodness, they're beautiful bird, beautiful blue wing drakes. And then the cinnamon. So it was like the place where I was taking all these pictures was full of blue wings, cinnamons, and of course shovelers were still around. But really that was kind of it. There was actually more mallards than I usually see. But there was, I don't think I seen one pintail. Isn't that so weird? It's like you go to this place over and over and over and over again, pintails galore, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, or you let 2 weeks go by, there ain't a single one there. Isn't that interesting? That's what I'm saying. Like, you're learning stuff about that. It's not just about taking pictures. Even if, guys, if you don't want to take pictures, just go to those closed zones or those drive-through refuges that in your area, wherever, whatever you're at or whatever state you're in, go through those. Even if they don't have those, you still have places where you hunt and ducks, and you could probably see them from the road and stuff. You know, it's just cool. Grab some binoculars and look at them, watch them, see how they react, when they groom, when they preen, when they fly. That's another thing. Like, I've kind of seen some patterns of when they're active and when they're not, you know, that I've been putting in the memory bank too. But, yeah, so that's what I've gotten into. And again, you can get into that for a fairly decent price. Maybe your photos are going to be a little bit more grainy and not look like, oh my goodness, these are amazing. But still, you can catch some cool things, them preening or flapping their wings. And, you know, it's something fun. And it just keeps you in it, keeps you fresh. And really, it's beneficial to you come duck season. It really is. You learn a lot. So that's another thing that I like, that will speed up the return of duck season. A little hobby to do. Another thing is I do softball. I don't know how much longer I'll do it. Not that I think I'm getting too old, because guys are playing up into their 80s. I seen them. I know them. But I don't know how much longer I'll do it, just because of all these other things I've got and try to do. It's like I cram my plate too full of stuff. And I really do love softball. I like it. I mean, you don't get a ton of exercise, but if you're not younger and you're getting my age, it's something that causes you to still run, causes something to hustle and actually get together with the guys, have a good time, have laughs, have fun, and like stay active, right? That's my goal, is to stay active.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way, with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Like, I do not want to just become a couch potato, you know, put on a ton of weight and just get obese, right? Like, I want to stay active, because come duck season, how much harder is it when you haven't moved all summer long? Which, I'm not an advocate of the heat and being out in it, to be honest with you. Like, I shouldn't say I hate summer, but I kind of do. And I just mean the heat. Like, I like summer and the things and activities we do. But like, as far as the heat goes, here in California, where we're at, and that depends because some places never get over 70 degrees, hardly 75 degrees, right, in the summer. But where we get, where we're at, it definitely, it gets from, it's average 100 to the really bad summers. You know, I've seen 111, 112. And it's miserable. Like, you don't want to be in it. I don't mind some heat and don't mind sweat and all that, but like, that's to the point of like, this is stupid. Like, even your pool is like 85 degrees and feels like a hotter than your bathtub water. So just trying to stay active. Like I said, being out golfing's fun too. I didn't write that down, but I mean, golfing's a good thing. That can be expensive. Like softball, I don't feel like it's too bad. If it's close to home, you pay your little one-time little, you know, $30 for the season, $40 for the season on the part of the team, and you're good to go, right? Golfing's a blast too, though. And I've done it all, right? Like, had all these hobbies, do all these things. But that's another option you can do among all the other sports that you can, you know, get into league basketball, something like that. That's where you really definitely keep off the weight and keep the in shape, I would say, probably more than, or soccer, you know, more than any of these. But anyways, so the next one I have is the gym. It's not for, I feel like it's for everybody. I think even Barney, someone that's been working out for a very long time, who we all look up to, and he's benched 405, which is absolutely insane, especially for his weight and size. It's phenomenal. And he's an absolute freak, I feel like. And what's cool, Barney, actually, him and his brother, Johnny, are going to be starting a podcast. So when that gets up and running, they're doing a lot of recording right now. I believe at the end of May, that's going live. So I'm going to be making an announcement on here about that to push guys over to them, because you guys are going to want to listen to these guys. Big game, mainly. I'll probably be on as a guest sometime or so, me or Travis or Tom or Thomas, whatever. But their specialty is big game. They've been doing it their whole lives. They're guides, and they're good duck hunters too. Honestly, they learn quick because they've hunted their whole lives, so they know what to do and they're good shots. But they're going to do a podcast. They are doing, they've already started, but it's not live yet until I get a bunch of recordings, and then we're going to try to get them all set up and going. And I will definitely do an announcement on here so you guys can go know where to find them and what the name of their podcast is and all that good stuff. But him being in the gym, and his brother Johnny too, they've been in the gym forever. But me and Thomas, I started working out in the gym consistently because I did some when I was in high school, you know, 3-4 months, and then got out of it. Then I did some, you know, before I was married, right before I was married, like 2021, probably did five, 6 months there, just in and out, right? So I don't really like basically say I was consistent. I wasn't until I was 29. 2013, when I was 29, I was in the gym 4 to 5 days a week, sometimes 6. And I have been ever since then. So for 11 years. And boy, that went by fast. I can't believe it's been that long, but for 11 years, we've been in the gym. And I think Thomas started in like when I got back from that deployment, is when I was in deployment when I got consistent. When we were in Afghanistan, and my buddy Steve is the one that was my training partner, and he was like, come on, dude, let's work out. And I was like, yeah, you know what? It's time to make a change. Gotta get in shape. Gotta lift weights. I wanted to bench 315, you know, had all these goals. So I started with him. He was a great training partner. Fun guy. Miss Steve, actually. But big dude, yoked. Really good shape. Big, huge arms. But One day, Steve, I don't think I'm ever going to attain the guns that he has. I don't know what they were, like 18 and a half, 19s. Lean guy too. Crazy strong. But started with him. Then got back in 2014. And then I want to say Thomas started in 2014. I don't think it was 15, but it was pretty close when I got back. And then when I got back, I joined the gym. And then a few months later, Thomas was like, dude, let's start working out together. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And Thomas is 10 years younger than me, so I was 29. Well, actually, I was 30 when I got back, so I turned 30 in Afghanistan, but got back, I was 30, Thomas was 20 or so, somewhere around there. And yeah, we've been training partners ever since. And, you know, I don't know how long we were in the gym before we were like getting sick of it, because we started doing some other stuff, deadlifts and squats and all this. We're like, dude, let's do our own. I don't know who suggested that, but bought all of our own equipment. It took a long time because it's expensive. And that was before it all went up during COVID, right? But so we did pay prices like guys are paying now since 2020. But got into that. And man, that will suck up your time right there. If you're serious about it, and even if you just spend three days a week in there, I mean, driving there, driving back, the time in the gym, whether it's an hour to an hour and a half, I know guys do longer, whatever, they want to run or do cardio afterwards or whatever, but I tell you what, that will take up time, but it's great time invested. I don't know how much it all carries over, right, to duck hunting. But I will say staying in shape in general just does, so why not, right? So the gym's huge. Whether you do your home gym, which we do, I hate going to the gym no more. It's so much different than it was, let's say, 2014 till it is now. There's so many people that get into it for like a social club, not saying they didn't do that before, but like you can't go in there without seeing guys set up cameras and videoing themselves while you're in there trying to work out. And I mean, I don't really care that they do that. Like, it doesn't bother me. What I don't like is when they sit on the bench, say you want to go in there and bench press, and you got two, three guys sitting in there and talking for 20 minutes in between each set. It's like, dude, that let's use some, I can't think of the word right now, but like, think about other people, right? Like, you're not the only one, pal, that's trying to get a workout in here. So that's the stuff. When you have it at your house, you don't have to worry about that. You can move as quick as you want between sets, and you can have a good workout. You can blast your music over your speakers like we do. Don't have to wear headphones. And you just got your own place. So it's cool. It's nice. But if that's all you got, that's great. I would definitely do it. Don't stay home just because. But that's why we started a home gym. So anyways, there's that. See, if I want to drag this out, I could make this three episodes, but I don't want to bore you guys with my voice. But this is a big one right here. Shooting the off season. And I will admit, I have not taken enough time to do this. I haven't. I really haven't. I like five stand, I like skeet, I like trap. I love sporting clays. Like, sporting clays is a blast, but I've never invested the time into it like Jim Mueller was saying. And I know he's a professional shooter, and I know he is doing it, you know, competing. But regardless, guys, we cannot complain about missing birds or getting mad at our shooting if we're not investing the time in the off season. Now, I always thought in my head, is it translating over? Yes, I mean, getting familiar with the gun and shouldering all that, yes, that translates. But like the way the targets move when you're talking about skeet or trap, it's like, unless the bird's always just flying straight away from you, is that how it really happens? I mean, I hope not. I hope you're not always tailpiping the birds. But it's like, what can I do to really translate over to duck hunting? And he said, for sure, sporting clays, which I agree. I mean, I know a sporting clay course and how they do the targets and stuff, right? But he was like, it absolutely does. So I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you guys, if you have not listened to the episodes with him on those, and it was the last couple ones, let me go in there and just give you specific, episode numbers. I believe it's 298. I think that's the one that he talks about the practicing. In fact, it might have been a couple. It might have been 297 and 298. I feel like we talked about it a couple times, but one of the times really specifically that we really, really dug in and talked about how important it is and how much it translates over and what shot you can shoot to translate over to the shot you're going to shoot during duck season, right? So usually to save money, you want to shoot. You're not going to go out there and shoot bismuth or even steel for the most part. I mean, you can, and people do. But mostly people shoot lead, right? For targets, but because you can't do it for ducks, right? Just making sure everybody knows that on here. But you cannot shoot lead at ducks. But I was like, hey man, what load and what size pellets translate over to what I'm shooting on this side? And he goes over that. So that's really helpful because, you know, if you feel like you're learning the lead and all that, but it changes with the ducks, then it's going to goof you all up. But I also say that, yes, the sporting clays can't, the birds are live, right? They're going to do different things that a sporting clay course is not going to do, but for the most part, it's pretty close, I will say, and they're tough. And he was talking about how your percentage of those when you're shooting 50%, 60%, 70%, he said once you start getting in the 80s, you know, shooting 80 out of 100, he said you're going to see it in the duck blind. So I am not going to be able to get out every week like he does, and he says multiple times a week and all that. I really would like to get out one, like this month before the month's over. I want to get out once a month. And then right before duck season, I would definitely like minimum. I would like to get more than this. I'd really like to get out. Personally, I like to get out like once a week at the minimum before duck season starts. He said you'll tell a drastic difference in your shooting. Okay, we're at 28 minutes. I got to hurry up. I only wanted to make this 30 minutes, but it looks like it ain't going to happen. Also, would you guys be interested in seeing a video of me and Harrison and Thomas and some guys doing a sporting clay course? Would you guys be interested in seeing a YouTube video of that on Mid-Valley Mercenaries channel? Just let me know down in the comments below. Guys, can I ask you two to leave a review and a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please? Those have been kind of stagnant. I haven't really been saying much about it, but I'd really like to hear some reviews on Apple Podcasts from a lot of you guys that like the shows with Jimmy. Like, let us know what you think about the shows with him and, you know, put some stuff in there so that he can see what you guys think. So anyways, all right, moving on to the next one. The next one I have for off-season hobbies to speed up return of duck season is scouting new places. Guys, meaning finding new places and spots and just driving, getting out of your little area. If you have the gas money and the time, take a drive to something you've been wanting to see. I've done this, and I have done this, and I will do this again. Get out there, drive out and get out there and do that and just go explore. Even if it's just one place in the off season, that one place can make a huge difference in your duck season. Get out there. When I say scout it, you're not necessarily like, okay, there's ducks here, because I mean, we're in what, April right now, almost May. So just get out there and look and glass, take some binoculars, take a spotting scope, even better if you have one, spotting scope, and just drive around and look and watch and look, check out the habitat. And maybe you can't go in and around the hunt area, but do the perimeter and check it out. I've done that, like I said, and just found some money spots, you know, traveling for work or whatever out of town. Seen some new places. I mean, sometimes it's easy to get lazy and just chill and not do stuff, but this is the stuff that's going to pay off during duck season. I would highly, highly suggest that. If you have a boat, you can check out a lot of different waters, right? Some lakes, some reservoirs, some rivers, you know, stuff like that. So I would definitely look into that. Another thing that you could do and get into, and I think most of you do that hunt. A lot of people turkey hunt, and I will go on a hunt. One hunt before season. Season's almost over now, which is sad. And I want to shoot one with my 28 gauge. I've been trying with bow for a couple years, but my plan this year was to shoot a couple with a shotgun with my 28 gauge, and then shoot one with my bow. But again, as always, the turkey season flies by me, and I'll admit I'm not like insanely into it. I love it, and it's addicting, and it reminds me of elk hunting, believe it or not. It's really crazy because of the hens and then the tom and how he works them and how he gets aggressive and wants to come in and fight. Like, it's so much like elk hunting, it's bizarre. I feel like I'm elk hunting a bird. Seriously. It's the same thing. The calling, the stalking, all that stuff, it's so identical to elk hunting. If any of you've done it, you will definitely agree with me. I 100% believe. But I talked to Talon last night at our softball game. I said, dude, can you get me in on one turkey hunt? Because I feel like Talon's a really good turkey hunter. I feel like he's a good caller, one of the better amongst our group. I feel like he's really good and just naturally good at it and knows what he's doing. Spent a lot of time with his uncle doing it and learned from him and then just took it from there. So anyways, we're going to go do that. I want to go shoot turkey with my Muller choke on my 28 gauge. So you guys will get to see it. I'm going to be shooting heavy 12. I was going to shoot heavy 18, but I talked to Tina and they don't have any. Matter of fact, Tina did send me some stuff that I just reminded. I got to go pick up some turkey ammo for my 20 gauge, but they never tell me when it's in at the gun store. So that's why I kind of forgot about it. Talking about this just reminded me. So turkey hunt's a great, great hobby. It's super challenging. Like, I know sometimes on private property, you can just go out and shoot one pretty quick, especially with the shotgun. But like, if you really want to challenge yourself, try it with the bow. I'm telling you right now, it's crazy challenging. If you want to challenge, that's what you do. You know, we can shoot three here in California. So, you know, why not shoot one or two with the shotgun and then try to get the other one with the bow, make it challenging, you know? But anyways, I love wild turkey. I love cooking and eating it. I don't know why, for some reason, it's so good to me. You know, some game wild is not like my favorite. I'll eat it, but I will tell you, wild turkey is like phenomenal. Lastly, for this episode, I went over my time and I got a whole nother episode of all this other stuff. So don't think I left anything out. And even when I get done with that one, people are probably going to say, oh, you left some stuff out. And I probably did, because maybe it's something I don't do. So I apologize about that. But I just feel like these are big things that a lot of these things help you with duck season, right? Softball, staying in shape. Gym, staying in shape. Shooting sporting clays, helping, making you a better shot. Photography, learning about the waterfowl, right? So these are all things that actually carry over. Like when I talked about family time and all that and trips, that's just good for your mental health. That's good for your family. I know sometimes we get so invested and so locked into duck season, we may let the family things kind of get on the back burner a little bit. And people always ask, how do you do that in moderation? Well, it's kind of hard, to be honest with you, but I think a lot of us don't do the greatest at that. But sometimes it's also become a thing between me and my wife and kids. Like, they know, you know, so we do the best we can. We work together. But last but not least for this episode is pigeon hunting. Again, shooting, hunting, swinging the gun. Like, this, again, translates over to duck hunting. And it's something that's good to do in the off season. If you can find a dairy and get permission on there, that is the best. And Nathaniel has been the master of getting permission at dairies. And he has taken us on some fun pigeon hunts. And he's been bringing it up lately. When are we going to go pigeon hunting? I'm like, dude, let's do it. Let's go soon. So I feel like we're going soon. I really need to get some target ammo for that, to do clay target shooting and all that. And then I got to get some ammo for the pigeon hunting, because I'm ready. I'm definitely ready to get the shotgun out. And I usually just use my 20 gauge and have been using my 28 gauge for that as well. But yeah, pigeon hunting, it don't have to be just a dairy. You know, there's other places that you can get pigeons, silos and farms and stuff people have that I know they'll shoot them on if they don't have dairies. California, we have tons of dairies in the Central Valley, all up and down from Redding all the way to Bakersfield, hundreds and thousands of dairies. So anyways, that is another good option in the off season. I hope these tips maybe gave you some ideas that maybe you hadn't thought of before, or gave you reasons why to do them that encourage you to continue to do them, because you're like, I don't feel like getting out, don't feel like doing that. I know we can get that way, get kind of lazy, you're kind of worn out from duck season. And a lot of us, I feel like, a lot of the men anyways, work, 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 work. And that's what I've always done, right? As soon as season's over, then I invest everything into work. But it's like, that's good, and we got to pay the bills, and we make the money for when duck season does come around. But we need the Lord's help into taking our time to do things in moderation. I'm speaking to myself. So these are things that will help the duck season, help speed it up to get back, and also help you get better for it. And hope you guys enjoyed this. Hopefully I didn't bore you too much in this one. Just trying to keep it moving. I do get sidetracked a little bit, but I did have notes here. The next one's coming up. We'll do it part two again. Then we'll also have some more with Jimmy Moeller back on. And then I promise, guys, I'll have more people, more guests. It's just time crunches. I'm trying to keep the episodes going and not make them boring. Hopefully, I'm not boring you guys. I feel like I'm helping you guys. I'm trying. I'm not just doing this willy-nilly. I'm being purposeful about it. So we'll see you guys in the next one.